Welcome to Falls Creek 2017. My name is Casey and I am on the Welcome Center staff. This is week four of 8 weeks of Summer Youth Camp, June 26th. This week we have 4,686 students and adults registered full-time from 117 churches. You're listening to the Monday evening service with our guest speaker, Matt Robertson. Enjoy!
What's going on, Falls Creek? That's all you have to say after an incredible worship time like that. I said, what's going on, Falls Creek? Yeah, good. It is good to see you tonight. My name is Matt Robertson, and I'm excited to be with you this week. I, too, have been blessed by the ministry of this camp since I was really, really, really young. In fact, my family, I grew up in Chicago. Do I have any Yankees in the building? Anybody? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go get an icy date together. And it's weird, but it's cool with me. No, there's only two of us in the building. I grew up in Chicago. My dad was a Baptist preacher. And so he knew about Falls Creek because he met my mom. She was from Muskogee. She was an Okie from, yep. Got a few proud Oklahomans in the room. That's good. And so what he would do with his youth group is he would actually put them all in a bus and we would drive down and we actually went to Falls Creek with churches from Muskogee and Okmulgee. Anybody else? No? Yeah. And so when I was really, really young, I just got to come because I was the pastor's kid. Do I have any pastor's kids in the room? Anybody? Yeah. Youth pastors, just put a mark on them right now. They're going to be your problem the rest of the week. It's those right there. How many of you, this is your first time at Falls Creek? Let me see your hand. How many of you have been? You're a senior. This is your fourth year or more at Falls Creek. Is anybody just happy to be at Falls Creek this week? Yeah, good. That's really, really good. A little bit about me, okay? So here's the deal. I am actually currently a pastor in Houston, Texas. But before that, for Texans. Whoa. Let's not get carried away. I have some family in Tecumseh, Oklahoma. Any of those in here tonight? I have some other family in Marlow, Oklahoma. Do I have anybody in there? Can't we all just get along? You know what I'm saying? But I was a worship leader for more than 16 years and stood right here and led many of you in worship, and it's been great. But I have the privilege to hang out with you in kind of a different capacity this week, and I'm excited about it. I want to introduce you to my family. I have a wife, Jennifer, and I have two girls. Chloe is 12 and Claire is 10. And if you have a picture of them that you could put up there, if they didn't get the picture, Oh, they're behind me. Oh, gee whiz. Yep, that was us. Recently, we got to go to the West Coast. Before we did the whole summer camp experience, we took a trip. We went to San Francisco, and then we drove up the coast all the way to Seattle. And they never experienced the heat of Falls Creek in those parts of the world. I know you're sad. I can hear it. But this is a glorious place because God is here. In fact, there has been hundreds and hundreds of people praying for each and every one of us, you and me. And for whatever reason, why ever you're here, I don't know, but I know this. I know that God will not waste a moment of it, but you're going to get out of it what you put into it. Now, some of you that came, you actually came with this idea that you just wanted to get away from home. Can I get, like, yeah, that was me. I just want to get out of home. Yep. You don't have to fear. Go ahead. If that was you, you just wanted to get away from your parents. I need to hear a big amen, like loud cheer. Amen. That's right. That's right. Some of you have younger and older siblings, and you're like, my parents are cool. My siblings drive me insane. Can I get one of those? Yeah, definitely you. And then there were some of you that were like, maybe I could strike up a new friendship. Yeah, I caught you, didn't I? Yeah. Don't touch her like that. That's inappropriate. Okay, we don't do that. Not those kinds of friendships. It's only a week. Slow down. But let me tell you, no matter why you came or what you want out of this week, let me tell you what I want for you this week. I want you to get away from the norm. I want you to step outside of your weekly, whatever your routine is for the summer. For some of you, you're glad to be out of school and that's cool, but for some of you, that means a different capacity. If you're older, that means maybe you have work schedule, maybe you have sports stuff going on, extracurricular activities. I don't know whatever it is, but I want you just to step away from the norm. Number two, I want you to get out into the beauty that is this place because it is one of the most beautiful, breathtaking places in the state is right here. And I want you to see what God has done. Because, number three, I believe that God wants to expand your capacity for relationship with him this week. Everybody do this with me, all right? I want you to take three deep breaths, and on the third one, I want you to hold it. Here we go. Ready? One. Breathe out. Two. Hold him up. He's going to pass out. Okay. And three. And hold it. Need a smoke break or what? You good? Okay. Breathe out. We want to expand our capacity and our relationship with God this week. So I need you to turn to your neighbor and say, hey, breathe deep this week. Go ahead. Turn to the person on the other side. Say, just breathe deep this week. You're talking way more than I said to talk. That's ridiculous. Some of you are already changing phone numbers. My gosh, that's quick. Amazing. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to pray, and we're going to dive into the Word of God tonight. All right, let's pray together. Father, we come before you in the name and blood of Jesus Christ, your Son. We claim, Father, the authority that you said was yours. Jesus, as he ascended, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And God, we know that the authority belongs to you and you alone. And I pray, Father, that in this moment and over these next five evenings together, throughout the days, in our recreational events, God, in our time in the Word, in our cabins, when we eat our meals, when we play sports on the rec fields, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, I pray, God, that you would help increase and expand our capacity to be in relationship with you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. I'm really glad to be with you. Here's what I want you to do. If you have your Bible, it should look something like this. All right, just hold it up real high. Really, really important book for you this week. Youth pastors, if they don't have one, you need to find a way to get them one because this is where we're going to be. Jesus tells us that all authority is his. He also says this, he's given us everything that we need for life and godliness, and it's right here. And so why else would we go anywhere else to find out how to live, right? All right, so if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to James chapter 1. Yeah, some of you have been with Ed Newton. He likes to yell and scream when he opened a Bible. I like that. And I do want you to stand. Go ahead. Everybody all over the room, stand up with me. James chapter 1. If you got it, say, I got it. That's about half of you, but whatever. All right. Okay. Why is it that every time I tell y'all to talk, you have like a sentence for two words? Okay, you got this. How are y'all doing down here in the red shirts? Y'all can stand up with me. Come on. There we go. Come on, stand up. You got it. You can stand up and look for it. You good? James chapter 1. I'm reading from a translation called the New Living Translation. It might be a little bit different than yours, but don't worry about it. Just follow along. We're going to go to verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. You got it? Say, got it. This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers who are scattered abroad. Greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled and is like a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they're unstable in everything that they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a wild flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. But God blesses those, listen right here, who patiently endure testing and temptation. For afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. You can be seated. Each and every night this week, we're going to take a new passage from this book. And here's why. I believe that this book is one of the most practical things that you and I can hold on to when it comes to living on mission for Jesus Christ. The theme of camp this week is a remnant. And in Scripture, several times, a remnant is who was left over of a people group after a catastrophic event. It's just a basic way to remember it. And here's the thing that you and I need to remember. Those of us that believe on Jesus Christ for our salvation, we claim that He is who He said He is, that His death on the cross meant our eternal life. For those of us that have claimed Jesus as our Savior, we are the remnant left on earth to accomplish the purposes and the mission of God. That's you and that's me. And so I thought, what a better way than for us to dive into one of the most practical books in the New Testament, the book of James. And so we start tonight with this idea of trials and temptations, specifically trials. Now, before we get too deep in it, I just want to tell you a little bit about this. You guys know who wrote the book of James. It was actually the half-brother of Jesus. Do I have any brother? Do you have any half-brothers and sisters in there? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The half-brother of Jesus. I have no idea what that would have been like. You know what I mean? You don't get what I'm saying, do you? Can you imagine playing like rock, paper, scissors with Jesus? I guess it wouldn't have been, it would have been like rock, papyrus, spear, something. If you'd have never won that game, some of you are going to get that joke on Tuesday. Can you imagine playing hide and seek with Jesus? He's like, I got it. You're behind the door. I've seen you. That's like, oh. Can you imagine if Jesus was a tattletale? Yeah, now you're with me. James, why don't you tell mom what you did? I did. Why don't you tell her everything you did? You know what I'm saying, don't you? Anybody got a tattletale for a brother and sister? Yeah. Okay, I didn't need an amen for that. You need to stop. No. Some of you are getting it, right? It's like the force is strong with this one. Yeah, we get it. Okay. But here's the thing about James. James wrote this book because when he was growing up with Jesus, he actually had an issue believing that Jesus was the Son of God. I mean, my brothers never claimed to be God. Okay, but if he did, I would have trouble believing him. I have a brother who's 10 years younger. I love him with all my heart, but if for any moment in time, if he would have looked at me and said, you know what, you're going to pay for this because I am God's son, I would have been like, right, whatever. But at some point in the game, James decided, you know what, I think he is who he said he is. You know when it was? It was when Jesus died and was buried, but then he came back from the dead. Kind of a big deal. I don't know if you've heard that story. And everything snapped for James. Everything changed. And he wrote this letter to the people in the church and he said, listen, I want to help you practically understand what it means to be a remnant, to live life for Jesus Christ. So here we go. Just real quick tonight. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, anybody tonight been in the midst of a trial? Come on, let me see your hands. Anybody? You ever had something go wrong? If your hand's not up, you're lying to yourself, okay? Just keep it up. Keep it up, way up. Think through your most recent or even your current trial, and the truth is told, hands up, anyone and everyone in here had a lot of different emotions that came over you when you experienced a trial. You know what I'm saying? Some of you, you wanted to give up. Somebody here tonight, you just wanted to give up. You're like, forget this. Some of you wanted to blame somebody else. Some of you were frustrated. You know what happened to me and my wife? You can put your hands down. My wife and I recently bought a new home. We live in Houston, Texas. We lived in this one neighborhood, but we had our eyes on this other neighborhood, and it was pretty cool. And we kept looking at this particular area, and a house came up in that neighborhood. And so I did what any self-respecting person would do. Before it went on the market, I went and knocked on the door. Don't ever do that, by the way. It's not a great idea. She thought I was totally weird. And I knocked on the door, and she opened it. She's like, hello. And I said, can we come in? And I noticed the house says it's coming soon. And she's like, yeah, that means coming soon. That means not now, right? She's like, you can't visit now. I said, no, but I'm a pastor. It didn't work. She said, yeah, it goes in the market on Wednesday, you and everybody else. So I went back to the car, and I'm like, man, how can we? Because I was leaving town the next week, and I needed to see the inside of this house. because this was the one. So I called my real estate agent. My real estate agent said, hey, listen, she doesn't want us to come look, but I'm going on a trip on Monday, and I need her to let us get in this house. So she said, let me do some schmoozing. So she called the real estate agent of the other lady, and the other lady finally agreed that we could come and view the house. So I get into the house. We walk in. My wife, like, does the whole, oh, this is so beautiful. I love it. She's not real emotional. She didn't really do that, but she said, Matt, this is it. And I said, yeah, this is it. We made an offer on the house, and they took the offer on the house. And that part's all really cool. And so you fast forward, now we realize we lived in a house, we needed to sell that house. And so that took a little bit of doing. And in the midst of all of this, it was time for us to close on the house, and we closed on the house, and we were super excited. The next day, it's time to move in. And so I go into the home, and I walk into the house, and it feels stuffy in the house. I'm like, ugh, kind of like it feels in here tonight. It's like sweating for no reason. I'm like, golly, I couldn't get a, everything's sticking to, like, why is my house like this? And so I did what any person would do. What would you do? Oh, you guys have to help me. You're killing me out here. Okay, what would you do? Yeah, go to the thermostat, right? Like, crank it down. I got it, no big deal. So I cranked it down. All right, set away. I heard the fan. Upstairs, got it. Okay, cool. Well, then the movers started coming in. They started pushing stuff in. I'm like, man, it's not getting cooler. It's getting hotter. And now I'm looking like I've been working out for 14 hours today. Like, what's the deal? Finally, I said, I don't know what's going on. They finished moving everything in, and I called a friend of mine who's a member of our church. His name's Tyler. I said, hey, dude, listen, I don't know what's going on, but the AC is not kicking on in my house. He said, I'll be right over, because he lived really close. So he gets in his AC truck. He comes over to the house. He said, hey, man, you don't worry about it. I'll take a look at it. And he steps around the back. He goes, hey, Pastor Matt. Yeah, I think I figured out what your problem is. I'm like, great, already. I walk around to the side of my house to this right here. Where's the picture? Show me this picture. I walk. Somebody has taken my air conditioner unit off of the foundation of my house. And if it was one of you, I'm going to kill you. Now look at this right here. They literally, some of you guys are taking notes. You're like, oh, I didn't know I could do that. Please don't do that to people, okay? Because it costs a lot of money to replace that. They literally cut up the side of this cage. They opened it up. They took the coils that I guess they sold for money. They probably got $50 for the coils, and it cost us thousands of dollars to replace. So the day that we're trying to move into our home, I'm in the midst of a trial, and I'm frustrated. And I said things in my mind that pastors shouldn't say in their minds. None of you have ever said anything like that, I'm sure. Liars. And I'm reading this verse, I'm getting ready for camp, and it said, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for joy. I have to be honest, joy was not even in my top three. Because I was like ready to set up cameras and catch me some food. I was ready. Is anybody with me? I was ready to knock somebody. Okay. And I get on the phone and I call my mom, and I love my mom. But my mom is one of those pastor's wives. She's, you know, the Lord's going to use this. He has it for a reason. I'm like, God had nothing to do with this, Mom. Because we use verses like this, right? Consider it joy. I'm so joyful. Because it's hard to be joyful in the midst of a trial. And it hit me in the face, and this is something I want you to take away from tonight. Your trials are put there for your growth. Do you understand it? Say it this way. Your pain is there to grow you, not to punish you. If you're writing anything down, I want you to remember something about your experience tonight. Each and every one of us came here with a different story. And there have been trials in your life. There have been things that you wanted that you didn't get. There have been things that you thought you deserved that you didn't get. There have been things that you thought you didn't deserve that you did get. Whatever the trial is in your life, I want you to know something. Everybody's eyes up here. Everybody, look at me. Your trial, your pain was put there to help you grow, not to punish you. Turn to your person next to you and say, you're not being punished. All right, now look back here. Quiet. Shh. You're getting a lot better at following directions. You guys are awesome. Your pain is not there to punish you. It's there to grow you. And there's passages in the scripture that are here, and they're not really meant as a means of escape, but they're a means of helping us understand why we go through the things that we go through. And maturity in our faith actually depends on us going through the trial. If I numb the trial with something that is inappropriate for me to numb it with, I'm going to stifle my growth, and I'm never going to understand the reason that pain happens in my life. Somebody in here tonight needs to understand what I'm saying. You came here tonight with so much weight in your soul, you don't know what's going on in your life, but you're choosing to see it as punishment. And you're trying to numb it, whether you're numbing it with wrong relationships, you might be numbing it with substances and abuse, you might be numbing it with sex, you might be numbing it with things you shouldn't numb it with. Here's what I'm here to tell you tonight. You need to use God's word as an ointment and as a lens for you to view your pain. Why? If you will, God promises that he will grow you. Now we all asked, that we said that we wanted to increase our capacity this week, didn't we? And we breathed real deep and we held our breath. So let's just maybe say this week's commitment together. You repeat after me. This week at Falls Creek. No, I need it to be louder, like this is a commitment from all of you, okay? Whether you want to or not, just work with me here, okay? This week at Falls Creek. Oh, yeah. No. I commit to sing loud as I worship God. To listen carefully for the voice of God, and to respond to the tug of God. And if for some reason I don't keep my word, God's gonna strike. Okay, we won't finish it. We're not gonna do that. Here's the thing. God's wanting to perfect you. He's wanting to mature you. He's wanting to make you complete. But it will not happen without pain and suffering and trials, because that's the world that we live in. And God uses those things. He doesn't cause those things. Anybody in here sports fanatics? Do I have any athletes in the room? Cool. Yeah. I love athletics. I know that I'm 4'11". I get it, okay? But God loves short people too. So don't be making fun of me all week at camp. I was a 4'11" freshman in high school. You think you got it bad? I'll never forget this. I was coaching this is totally an ADD moment. I have any of you in here too? Okay, squirrel. Listen, I was coaching my 12-year-old softball team this year. And I'm the coach, okay? I'm almost 40, y'all, for real. She's down like this girl's catching the ball, and she's getting down on her knee, and she's throwing it. And I mean, it's from the other team, and I'm super intimidated because I'm like, man, she throws the ball like a Major League Baseball player. That girl can, that's crazy. And I'm not kidding you, I walked behind her because I had to go coach third base, and there was a play that happened in the previous thing, and she stands up like this, and my head is right here. She's 12, y'all. She pats me on the head and says, good play, coach. Walk around. Just felt like y'all should know what it's like to be short. Okay. I'm working on my own trials, okay. Here's the thing, if you're an athlete, you understand that resistance is a way that we grow. When you're in the gym, when you're working out, the resistance of the weights is a way that you tone the muscle. It's no different with the things of God. The resistance and the pain that you go through is to build your spiritual fortitude. It's to make you more complete in the things of God. It's to make you more mature. Verse 5, let's move on. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. We recently went on that vacation that I told you about, and I'll never forget. In fact, Jennifer and I were walking to this lake. It was called Hetch Hetchy. Super weird name for a lake. And it's actually the water supply for San Francisco, California. So they don't let anybody swim in there. They don't let you use boats in there. And as I stopped and looked at it, Jennifer said, we're going to hike from the top of this area here. We're going to go through that tunnel and around the side of the mountain. And it looked absolutely horrible. You know what I mean? Just like, oh, that's going to be terrible. And I'm not like, I'm the fat short kid, man. I just don't want to go do that. Why don't you go do it and take pictures and text them to me while I'm over here drinking? And okay, anyway. And so we began our hike, and when we finally got some perspective, when we got up to the top of this mountain, this was the view that we saw. And I just stopped for a minute, and I apologized to God. Because without some work and without some labor, without some burning legs and some sweaty backpacks, I would have never gotten to see the perspective, how beautiful something that he created. This is in Yosemite National Park. It was unbelievable. And here's the thing. God says, if any of you lacks wisdom, and you're like, Matt, what does that have to do with perspective? I don't understand. Here's what it has to do. You're going to get into the midst of a trial. Maybe you're in the midst of one now. And his next verse in the scripture is, and if any of you lacks wisdom, it means this. Listen, wisdom is the ability to see something the way that God sees it. Wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. He says, if any of you can't see it from God's perspective, just ask him and he'll show you. He says, but if you ask, you need to ask in faith without wavering. For he that wavers is like someone who is blown and tossed by the wind. Some of you love the voices of the people that'll tell you what you want to hear. You know what, buddy? I don't think it's your fault. Oh, she should have never treated you like that. I can't believe she'd say something like that. Scratches the itch in the ear, you know what I mean? A lot of times what we fail to do is we fail to go to God's word and ask him what he says. But then we turn around and we demand things from God, but we're not really willing to look at it from God's perspective. Some of you are going through a trial right now and you're blaming God for the trial rather than asking God why the trial. Because when you ask God why, you're asking him, why would you let this happen to me? And he's like, no, sin made this happen to you, but I'm going to show you how I, in my redemptive power, can use that to make you more like me. We ask God the wrong question. Quit asking God why he did it. He didn't do it. You should hate the devil all the more. It is sin in us that does it. It's not God. See, because God showed a different kind of love. God says, I'll give you perspective because while you were dead in your trespasses and sin, I sent my son Jesus to make you alive. And by his blood, by his stripes, you can be healed. And even though you're going through a trial and even though it's frustrating and it's difficult, I'll tell you this right now. I can use your pain to shape you and to become more like me. But we have to quit demanding things from God if we're not willing to see it from his perspective. Have your parents ever done that to you? You know that 12-year-old I told you about, she came to me and her mom one time. She said, I said, it's Chloe, I sense you're frustrated. She said, I wish you would just listen. It's like a drop the mic moment for a 12-year-old. She's like, you know? I said, what do you mean? She said, sometimes it's like you come to the conclusion before you even hear what I have to say. And anybody ever felt like that? How many times have we done that with God? God, how could you let that happen to my son? How could you let that happen to my daughter? How could you let it happen to my friend? How could you let it happen to my sibling? Innocent people shouldn't this. And we blame God for the trials. But God says, if any of you can't see it from my perspective, if you would just ask me. But if not, if you're not going to ask me, said you're like somebody who is wavering. You're like sitting on the ocean going like this. His opinion, my opinion. What God says, what somebody else says. He says you're wavering. You're like a wave of the sea that's just blown and tossed by the wind. And he makes a pretty sharp statement. He goes, let that person not think that they're not going to receive anything from the Lord. They're double-minded. They're unstable. It says their loyalty is divided between God and the world. And for some of us this week, I believe that God wants to unify our loyalty underneath the person of Jesus Christ. He wants to remove the outside voices, and he wants to make his voice the loudest voice in your head. And one of the things that you're going to need to do this week to increase your capacity is you're going to need to understand that the reason you're in the midst of what you're in the midst of is because God is chasing after you. And he wants you to see something from his perspective instead of everyone else's perspective. You're like, man, that's really heavy for Monday night. It's setting the stage because I believe that God wants to do something remarkable this week. What about you? What about you? What about you? Do you want him? Do you want to see him do it? Anybody come in here ready to see God do something or not? Everybody close your Bibles. We're going to finish this way. Everybody's eyes right up here. James, half-brother of Jesus, slave of Jesus. To the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, to the remnant. Greetings. That's you and me. My brothers and sisters, count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. But let perseverance have its perfect work, so that you can be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Now here's the deal. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. For he'll give it to you, and he will not demoralize you for asking him. But when you do ask, make sure that you ask in faith. Make sure your faith is in God alone. Don't waver, for he that wavers is like a person that is on the sea, driven and tossed by the waves and the winds. And don't let that person think that he or she is going to receive anything from the Lord. They're double-minded. Their loyalty is divided between God and the things of this world. They're unstable in everything that they do. Let the poor person rejoice in their humility. Let the rich rejoice in that they will be made low, for all of their wealth will pass away eventually anyway. At the end of the day, remember this. Blessed is the person that endures trials. Because when he is tried, when she is tried, he will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And here's my first question for you on Monday night, Falls Creek 2017. Does everything that you do point to the love that you have for Jesus? Our commitment this week is to be single-minded, to increase our capacity to be in relationship with God, and to walk out of here on Friday ready to live out the mission that God has called us to live out. And if we endure some trials along the way, they're only put there to make us grow. Are you good? I said, are you good? Let's just give God praise tonight and worship him. Come on. Yeah. That's good. Still, for somebody tonight, I just want you to know something. Sometimes it's hard to hear words like this because you're like, what's this guy really talking about? He's talking about the trials that I'm in, but I don't really have the person of Jesus in my life. I came to camp, like he said, my parents drive me crazy. I just needed to get out of here. I believe that God's not going to waste a moment on you, but I believe that he's drawing you even now. I think that he has you here for a very specific reason. And I believe that God wants to increase your capacity to be in relationship with him this week. He might just want to introduce himself to you. Now, we're not going to do a formal invitation tonight, but we're going to have one tomorrow night. So I want to pray with you if that's you tonight. Just everybody all over the room, bow your head. If that's you tonight, you're like, Matt, I don't know Christ, but I need to understand things from God's perspective, and I don't have him in my life, and I need to do that. If that's you tonight, I want you just to pray with me. Remember, it's not the words that save you, but it's the condition of your heart before God. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's glory. The Bible says that the wages of that sin is death. It means that there's nothing that you and I can do to measure up. We stand before God guilty as charged, me and you. But he says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He sent his son Jesus to die for you. He sent his son Jesus so that you and I would have a way, a mediator. And that if we would believe in the sacrifice of Jesus, his son, that we will be saved. So if that's you tonight, I just want you to pray after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I need Jesus in my life. I need to see my life from his perspective. I need his wisdom. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life and save me. And I will follow you all of my days. In Jesus' name, and everybody said. Now listen, if that was you tonight, if you prayed and received Jesus Christ, number one, we're gonna have a formal time, and I want you to be one of the first people tomorrow night to get up out of your seat and walk down here, because I believe that God is gonna do something unbelievable this week in your life and in the lives of everyone in this camp if we would just commit to go hard after the Lord this week. Are you guys committed? Are you guys committed?